I'm going to turn on my.
You on hot though?
Yeah.
You don't need a hand.
It works.
This is good.
Lord, thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, thank you for your word that is alive and that you send us to encourage us, to set us free, to build us up, and to help us with everyday life. Thank you that you're a God that cares about each and everything that's important to us. And Father, I just speak your peace over this evening. I just speak your blessing. And I pray that, Lord, as each one listens, Father, that you would speak to each heart. Thank you for who you are. And your peace and your love that sets us free from fear. In Jesus' name. All right. Well, here we go. I was talking to someone the other day, and they began to talk about some anxiety. And they began to talk about it like it was a great thing, like everybody should have it. And, you know, in our society, we've gotten to be, it's gotten to where it's like fear is okay, and there's all these different labels on things. Is that echoing? Oscar, can you adjust that? It's a big echo. Thank you, sir. And it just hit me. I thought, oh, there's such a better way to live. And I can say that because I had great parents, but I grew up in a home that fear was like our friend. I now realize it was a fear-based home. And I didn't realize that till much later in my life, and God began to show me. And I'll tell you that story. But I want to start off with that God has a different viewpoint of fear than we do. And do you know that 360 times it says in the Bible, fear not? That's almost one for every day of the year, 360 times. So it's got to be important to God. And fear is defined, and this is a place where you can take notes. Fear is defined as an unpleasant emotion caused by a belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or a threat. The feeling of anxiety about the outcome of something or the safety and well-being of someone. I'll repeat it. Fear is defined as an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or a threat. The feeling of anxiety about the outcome of something or the safety and well-being of someone. Fear is tormenting. That's another blank you can fill in your lesson. Fear is a robber and a thief. And I can say that because it has robbed me way too many times of my peace and my joy and my tranquility. And my whole viewpoint of fear has changed from what it was years ago. Fear is a silent enemy that whispers way too often in our ears. And it manifests or looks like butterflies in your stomach. And there's a healthy fear of, you know, okay, you might be trying something new and a little, there's a healthy fear, but it's that uneasiness or that just thing in the pit of your stomach. It can also be shallow breathing or someone, you know, I know that there's times that I've noticed, okay, I'm a little afraid, and I'll have to take a deep breath. Fear also can be manifested in jittery, nervousness, and anger. We're going to talk about forgiveness and anger. And do you know that when people get angry, it's usually for one of two reasons. They're either afraid, there's something deep down that's a fear, or there's unforgiveness. And that was liberating to me. When I heard that, that has been a good check balance for me. If I get angry, and I, you know, everybody, you know yourself. If I get angry, I usually try to step back and say, okay, is that a fear and I need to get rid of that? Or is there somebody I need to forgive? And we'll talk about forgiveness next week. Let's go to John 10:10. And here's what I want to jump in with. Because Jesus has come, and he's come for us to have life and life abundantly. And so I want to read this to you. It's highlighted in my Bible. And it says in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And these are Jesus' words. Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and you may have it to the full. That's God's heart for us. He does not want us to be people that are running around anxious, stressed out, and fearful. And I did that way too long in my life. Because we're created to walk with him. We're created to have relationship with him. And fear's main goal, might want to write this down, fear's main goal is to cause us to doubt the goodness of God and his love for us. See, Satan doesn't want you to really realize how much God loves you. And we're going to talk about the love of God and how it can set us free from fear. Fear's main goal is to cause us to doubt the goodness of God and his love for us. And fear is contemplating our future, thinking about what's ahead, and not factoring God into it. See, when you walk with God and you factor that into your life, he's right there with you. He says, one of my favorite scriptures is in Psalm 73, and it says, nevertheless, which is kind of like, even though it didn't turn out the way you wanted it to, it says, nevertheless, I will be with you. I hold you by the right hand. That's one of my favorite scriptures. Oswald Chambers, who's a real famous author, said, the remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, and I'm talking about a fear in the sense now of reverence for God, when you have a healthy respect for God, when you want to live your life pleasing God more than you want to please people, when you want to obey his word, and you have that, I want to do that, God, because you've given me so much. When you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. So I challenge you, if you find fear being a big culprit in your life, to just step back and say, Lord, I acknowledge that you're God, and you made me, and you want to walk with me, and I want to walk with you, and I want to care about what you think more than I care about other things and what people think. One of the big fears I struggled with was fear of man, fear of wondering, fear of what other people would think. And that can cripple you. And that has crippled me in my life in different areas and kept me from stepping out into the potential and the things God has called me to. So some of the different fears, and there are many, but some of the ones I've struggled with and I'll touch on tonight, again, fabulous parents. But I grew up, one of the fears that we had, one of the first ones I remember dealing with personally was a fear of death. As a 10-year-old little girl, I remember just being so afraid to go to sleep at night. And I don't know where it came from. I don't know why it came. But all of a sudden, I was afraid to go to sleep at night. And I told my parents, And my parents had some people come over and pray with me. And about that time, I had gone to a Sunday school class, and the lady there that was sharing the lesson, she said, "And Jesus wants to have a personal relationship with you." And she said, "Is there anybody here that would like to have a personal relationship with him?" And I raised my hand, and I said, "I would, but I want to do it next week." She said, "Okay." But in that process, I accepted the Lord. And then I really began to understand. And she explained what that meant. But I began to, okay, so if I do die, I'm going to go be with this wonderful God that loves me. And about that time, these people were praying over me, and God began to set me free. And all of a sudden, I wasn't afraid to go to sleep at night. And I know that's irrational, but I was a child, and it was a way that the enemy started targeting me even at an early age. And I want to just tell some of you, as grandparents and parents, what you're learning tonight is not just for you, it's for people in your sphere of influence. Because each and every one of you, there's people God wants to use you to touch. There's people you're going to come across. And some of what you're learning, I promise you, as you practice it in your life, he's going to give you an opportunity and bring other people. And you're going to be able to teach them things that you're learning. Another fear, it's a fear of germs. Now, I know this might sound funny, but I'm just telling you guys, I'm just being open and honest. My mother walked around with Lysol everywhere. My hands were Lysoled. Our bathrooms were Lysoled. Some of you are too young to even know what Lysol is, but it is like way stinkier than Clorox. It's awful. I mean, there was this thing. And I remember when I got married, we went to Acapulco on our honeymoon. And I remember taking alcohol wipes and rubbing the silverware. And, you know, I was in a foreign country and I'd never done that. I'm telling you the truth. I know it's crazy. And you know, life journeyed on, and that's the way I started raising my children. I started raising my own children in a fear-based home because that's what I knew. And one day, I just had my third baby, and we had this special meeting at church, and we really wanted to go. And I took Price, my youngest, and into the nursery, and there were some missionaries there. And they were from another country. And when I walked in and realized and was talking to this mother that her baby was from another country, I just turned and walked back out. And I went back into the conference. Well, the conference I had a rule, and it was there were absolutely no children. And I looked at the lady and I said, "This is a 3-week-old baby and I just don't feel comfortable." I said, "I'm just afraid it will get germs and get sick." And this lady looked at me and she said, "I'm going to pray you get set free of that." And I mean, I was a little offended. And then they happened to sit at our table at lunch at this conference. And she just began to share about how fear gripped her life and how she said, God wants to set you free of that. He didn't want you to be like that. I thought about that. But then I wanted to hear what she said, because then the light began to go on. Another fear I had was fear of failure. I was afraid to try things. I look back on my high school years and my younger years, and there were many things I did not do that I now know I was capable of, but I didn't want to fail. I didn't want to look stupid. I didn't want to be embarrassed, and nobody likes to be embarrassed. But once I began to recognize that, okay, maybe I don't see myself the way God sees me. Maybe I don't see my capabilities. You know, how many of you have ever had somebody say to you, "Oh, I can't do that," and you're looking at them because you're like, "Yeah, you can," because you see something different in them, and that's calling them up. And I began to repent, and we're going to talk about how to get free, but a failure. I was afraid of the dark. I was afraid, a fear of rejection. I was afraid of making a mistake. I was afraid of the unknown and the future, and afraid of loving again. And I found out that God does not He's not given us a spirit of fear. I remember, some of you know my story, but I grew up in Kerrville, and I married at 19, so married life was all I knew. And my husband we were married 30 years, and he got a rare cancer, and he passed away. And, of course, that was devastating. And life went on about 3 years, and I met a man that I'm now married to. And when I felt my heart liking him, and I remember one day saying, I don't know, I might love him. And all of a sudden, I jumped back. And I never said a word to him, but about 3 or 4 days later, he called me on it. He said, What's going on? I thought we had something going on here. And those of you who have met him, he's a cowboy, and so he's kind of straightforward. And he said, did I do something wrong? Is there something wrong with this? And I said, no. And I got choked up, and I said, I think I'm beginning to love you. Now, he'd already told me, but I wasn't going to tell him. I think I could be falling in love with you, but I'm afraid. I was afraid of being hurt again. I knew if I really loved myself and gave myself to him, there was a chance I could love and lose again. And I had to deal with that in my own heart. And so I took that to God and said, this is fear. This is doubt and unbelief. It's not trusting you. And I acknowledge that, and I want to set you free. And God, I just want what you want for my life. And this is the guy, great. And if not, okay, here we go. But what I found in my life is that many people have struggled with some of the same fears that held me captive too. And one day I heard the words, and this is something you can write down. It's one of your blanks to fill in. Fear is doubt and unbelief. And doubt and unbelief is not trusting God, and it's sin. And when I heard that statement, fear is doubt and unbelief, and it's not trusting God, and it's sin. When I heard that it was sin, I thought, oh my, I can't coddle my fear anymore. Because I really, in my heart of hearts, I wanted to please God. I want to do what he says because I know that there's benefits and there's reasons he tells us to do things and to not do things. It's for our good. Just like with my children, her grandchildren. The reasons that, you teach them things. And at that moment, I knew for me personally, I could no longer justify my fears. I had to call them what they were if I wanted to get rid of them, and I had to call it sin. Let's go to 2 Timothy in your Bibles, 1:7. And God was so kind in just showing me step by step different fears he wanted to set me free of. I'm telling you, like, years and years of history, okay? So don't think you got to go home and conquer all of this. Just take whatever he speaks to your heart. Okay, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. It says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity or fear, but a spirit of power and of love and self-discipline. Or the King James Version says, a sound mind. God did not give us a spirit of fear. And when I was studying that scripture, something that I was able to conclude from that is two things. That number one, fear is a spirit. And number two, it's not from God. Pretty simple. And God he wants us to walk with his power, with his love, and with a sound mind. A sound mind is a peaceful mind. And some of you were here last semester when I taught on walking in peace and my journey of learning to walk in peace and how God has peace for us. I can send you a copy of that if you'd like it. So two things. Fear is not from God. It's a spirit, and it's not from God. And God warns us not to play with it. And the hard truth is you either walk in a fear of God and a trust with God, or you walk with fear. And the choice is yours. God gives us choices. Let's look at Isaiah. Isaiah 43. Isaiah is one of my favorite books of the Bible. It's in the middle of your Bible. If you're just studying the Bible, it's in the Old Testament. So let's look at Isaiah 43, verse 5. And it says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, I am with you." One of the big things I learned, my mom had an illness for 9 years, and one of the big things that I learned in that time of overseeing her care for 9 years and watching her suffer was that God was with me. He was with me every step of the way in that hospital. He was with me every step of the way. And God is with you. That's why he says, "I am with you." He tells us right that. And the big thing is we don't often recognize it or tap into that. Okay, Lord, you're with me. You're right here with me. And I think one of the big problems is we entertain fear like a house guest instead of treating it like it's trespassing, or when we justify our fears. And if we treated it like it was trespassing or a robber, it would be quite different. I was sharing with someone today out of state, and we were talking about fear because it was interesting. She just happened to text last night and said, "Pray for me. I feel like I'm having an anxiety attack." And I couldn't stop right then and call her and pray with her, but I just text her. And I said, "I'm going to ask that God give you a big revelation of his love, and I'm praying." And that's all I had time to do at that point in time. But I used the example as I was talking to her today. I said, "Let me give you an example of fear." I said, "I'm your friend, and I know that you love me and care for me. And if I walked into your house and said, 'Hey, I would like these flowers,' you'd look at me and say, 'Well, I want you to have them. You're my friend.' I just know her. She's that kind of person. And she'd give them to me." I said, "But if a robber or a thief came into your house and tried to take those flowers, you'd be calling 911. You'd be telling him to get out of your house in the name of Jesus. I mean, you would be, because I just know her." And she said, "You're so right. I never thought of fear like that." And so one of the things that I began to learn was that fear, I could just tell it to go, that it was not my friend. It's just like having, you can entertain something or not. And I know this may sound like simple, but I'm telling you, you do it enough and it'll work. And just fear, "You're not my friend, go." And years ago, I worked for years and years with children. I had a gymnastics school. I worked for Kerrville Independent School District. And there would be children that would have fear. And I would see that. They'd be afraid of this, that, or the other. And I would call them out in the hall and I'd say, "You don't have to be afraid. Tell fear to go. It's not your friend." And those little kids, I'm talking about kindergarten on up, depending on that, "Fear, go. You're not my friend." And I would, just kind of give them a hug and say, "You feel better now?" "Yeah." And they'd go on in. I'm telling you, I've seen this work. We can either coddle our fears and play with them, or we can tell them to go. And as long as we coddle them, they're going to hang around. Isaiah 41. Let's see what Isaiah 41 says. Isaiah 41, verse 10. And it says, "So do not fear, for I am with you." Here it is again. "Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And sometimes we're at those places in life. Christians don't have any guarantees that we're going to be exempt from things. We just have the opportunity to walk them in a different way. We just have an opportunity to walk with God. And I know when my late husband was battling cancer, and there were many times I was, you know, in MD Anderson, and the news just wasn't good. He had a cancer that only 2 in a million get. 2 in a million. He said, I thought you told me I was 1 in a million. I said, well, you are. But there were many times as I was watching life as I knew it unravel that I would remember what God said, do not fear. I am with you. I am with you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And it was a great comfort to me. It helped me journey in those days, especially with my mom and with Joe. Fear will keep you from reaching your potential. We talked about John 10:10, that Jesus has come so that we can have life and life to the full. And a fear-filled life is not a full one. It's really not. God created us to be courageous because we're made in His image. He's big, He's mighty, He's courageous. And we are made in His image. He's not the least bit afraid of anything. Did you know that? So there's been times I'm like, okay, I need a little bit of your peace. I need a little bit more of your courage because I can't find it. Right now, I can't find it. But can you help me? Can you help me? I had a fear of making a mistake, and that kept me from reaching my potential. And actually, what I've learned is some of my mistakes have been my very best teachers. How many of you have learned from a mistake? So why on earth are we so afraid of making them? Why are we afraid of making them? Well, I know for me, sometimes it's pride, and I don't like making them, but I've really learned to laugh at myself. I've learned to repent quickly. I've learned to ask forgiveness quickly because I'm going to make mistakes. I just am. We all are. Let's look at Joshua 1:7. Joshua was a leader, and God had called him. He had called to take these people into the promised land. And God called Joshua to lead them, and it was quite a task. And there were some giants in the land. How many of you feel like you're facing a few giants right now in your land? But let's see what God tells Joshua. He's like, hey, Josh, I got this assignment for you. And I want you to take all these people. I know they're not going to all appreciate you and probably not like you, but I want to take you into this promised land. There's going to be great stuff there. It's got milk, got honey. That's my paraphrase. It's going to be a good thing. But let's listen, because God is going to call you to things, and you're going to really need this scripture to hang on to. Joshua 1, verse 7. And it says, here's what God says. First, let's go to verse 6 first. He says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. There's that again. He's with us. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead this people to inherit the land. God wants to lead you and me in freedom so that we can lead other people to freedom. And then he says in verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Notice how in 6 he says, be strong and courageous. And then he says, be strong and very courageous. That's God's heart for you. To be very courageous, because that's how he is. He doesn't want us to be intimidated. He doesn't. He knew that Joshua was battling against his own inadequacies, but he also knew that he wanted him to step into a better life. And being strong means you stand your ground. And I had an opportunity even this week to, and let me tell you folks, I may work the lesson, but I get to live it the week before and sometimes the week after and the week after. So a lot of what I'm sharing with you, I'm not a big theologian. I'm not the greatest at Bible history. I do know some because I've done years of study and I've had some fabulous teachers. But what I'm teaching you is from my own personal experience. And I want to tell you, your experience makes you rich. And when you walk with God and you see how He's faithful, even when your prayers don't turn out like you like them to, and when you see who God is for you, it makes you more courageous. If we're going to fulfill our destiny in the things God's called us to, we're going to have to step beyond our fears. And even as 3 years ago, I shared this last week, so I'll be quick, but 3 years ago, 4 years ago almost, the Lord spoke to me about doing this very event. And I sat on it for 3 years, or 4 years. I actually started last year, so I guess three and a half years. And I just kept praying and waiting for the right door until I knew it was time. Lots of times God's going to put something in your heart, but it might be on down the road before you actually realize it, and it might be time. But a series of events began to happen last year about this time, and I knew it was time to start this. And I didn't know what it looked like. I didn't know where it was going to be. I just knew what God had given to me, and I knew I needed people to help. And as I met the people that are our team that I've got here right now on my team that will be available to pray with you against the side of the room if you want prayer afterwards, I met with some of them and I said, I just want to share this with you. Y'all know me a lot. You've known me for years and years, decades. And what do you think? And they were all, you should do it. That's our heart. We want to bring people a different face together. We want to see God touch people that are young, that are, you know, in their older years. Their vision was for our community. But I had to wrestle with the fact of, well, what if I step out? What if I publicize this and nobody comes? You know, I mean, that could have happened. I mean, you know, and going and talking to people, even here at the Croc. Well, I kind of have this vision. I'm not really sure. I know.
Really?
I know. Really? You're calling me on it. But I'm telling you, I really did wrestle with that. And I had to say, wait a minute, this is fear. It's not my friend. Lord, you said, and you showed me this. And so I'm going to walk. And so Debbie asked me, how many do you think might come? And I said, well, I don't know. We might have 25. And we were very surprised that first night when more than that showed up. And there's a great group of you guys tonight. But I'm telling you, you can even know this stuff, but you still have to practice. See, all of us practice the word. None of us get it all the way down. The important thing is that you keep practicing because practice makes perfect. And if you stumble and fall, and if you mess up, it's okay. Repent, get back up, dust yourself on, and get on with the show. Don't waller when you make a mistake. And don't let fear hold you back. Don't do it. There's risk. I had a fear of rejection. There's risk in loving people. I'm going to tell you, if you don't know this, people are going to let you down. They're going to disappoint you. They're going to try to put you down and step on you at times. Because we're dealing with people. And one thing is for sure, at some time in our lives, we might face rejection. I know that I've had my share. And what I've discovered is if we're ever going to make a difference, we're going to have to battle fear of being rejected at times and people not agreeing with us. The problem is we face and we encounter sinful people, dishonest people, or insecure leaders, spouses that betray us, and we build walls around our life, and we lose our childlike wonder and vulnerability. And I know there was a situation that happened in my own life as a young girl, and I said, I was hurt, and I said, nope, here's my wall. And I'm telling you guys, I had a thick wall around my life. And that wall, guess what? It kept me at times from getting hurt, but it also kept me from receiving love and giving love like that was deep in my heart. And God began to work on me. I remember there was a woman that went to our church, and every time she'd hug me, I would just like, there was nothing wrong with her. She would give me one of those bear mama hugs that squeezed me like I was the best thing since sliced bread. She was just one of those motherly people. And I went home one day and I thought, now why do I act that way, God? Why did I do that? Because I like her? I know she cares for me. And the Lord, I just felt him speak to me, say, it's because you've got walls around your heart. You've been hurt, and it's caused you to put up walls. And he said, I want you to receive my love and the love of others, and I want you to give love too. So I went back to that lady the next week at church, and I said, she gave me one of those hugs again, and I said, you know, it's hard for me to receive that kind of hug, but I want you to keep doing it because I know I need it. And God's doing something in my life. Some of you have been hurt, and I don't want to minimize that at all. There was a time not long after my husband had passed away that I had someone that was in leadership in my life that really hurt me. And it crushed me on top of another hurt. I was just trying to figure out life without my husband. But the enemy doesn't play fair at our lives, you know? He tries to push us down, kick us when we're down. And I had to forgive. I had to keep forgiving. And I also did not want to build walls. I don't ever want to go back. I don't ever want to go back. Once you've tasted freedom, you're not going to want to go back. It's not worth it. The bondage is not worth it. And so there, I'm going to tell you, there's risk in loving people. There's risk in being in relationship with people. But at the end of the day, I want to live my life loving others well and trusting God. Trusting God. The challenge for all of us is to be vulnerable to love and live in childlike wonder with a God that loves us dearly. Let's go to Isaiah 41:9. We're talking about rejection, and that's just tough. Nobody likes that. I don't like it. But let's see what God has to say. He says in 41 verse 9, I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He's standing right there wanting to hold out his hand to us. And you know, people around you need encouragement. Let's look at Isaiah 35, verse 3. We're in that book, it's about in the middle of your Bible. 35, verse 3. Everybody needs cheering on. See who you can be a cheerleader for. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance and divine retribution, and he will come and save you. And I have seen time after time in my life where there has been some kind of betrayal, hurt, rejection, when I have said, okay, God, I give this to you. I give it to you. I choose to forgive. I put it in your hands. Lord, there's something going on here, and I don't really know, but reveal truth. And Lord, would you vindicate me? Because there's that thing that, you know, sometimes we want to get back. And God doesn't want us to live that kind of life either. And I have seen God do that every time. One of my favorite things when I feel something in my heart or my spirit and I can't quite put my finger on it, when I say, Lord, can you just reveal truth in this situation? I'm telling you, I might have to wait a while, but I'm telling you, time after time after time, God has done that in my life. What about, you know, right here, this, I want to just go back to this, because it says, strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those of fearful heart, be strong, do not fear, your God will come with vengeance and divine retribution, and he will come and save you. And here's the thing, encouragement breeds courage, and all of us need it. Especially those that find themselves in the ashes of life. And one of the things I love to do is encourage widows. I was widowed at 49. It was a hard time. It will be 10 years that my husband left the earth and went to heaven. I still ask him, why did you leave me? You know, why did you leave me? But it was his time. And I love encouraging those that find themselves in the ashes of life. And it's one of the ways that, you know, back when he died, it was one of those things that I said, God, I know I'm not exempt from going through things, but I don't want to waste this pain. I want to learn. I want you to change me. I want you to work things in me and out of me in the ashes. And God has been faithful to that. God wants to use you to encourage others. And harshness and insensitivity are not good for relationships and can kill a marriage. I promise you, things go much better in my home when I use a gentle and kind voice versus, you know, sometimes men can be irritating. Do y'all agree with that? I mean, sometimes they are, they can. No, they're great. And my husband's a great guy. But there are just sometimes, you know, that you just, you want to set them straight, you know? Anyway, and fear of the unknown or fear of losing control can really keep us in bondage. So many times we want to guarantee before we step in into things. And there's just no guarantees in life. I'm just telling you, there's not. I wish I could tell you differently. And there are days, you know, there are days when I know my mom got sick. God taught me so much. My precious mama was God-fearing. She taught me an awful lot. She prayed for me. And I know some of you here knew my mom, and one lady here was in a Bible study with her. And but there were days that when she was ill, I was just tormented by the unknown. How am I going to live without her? How is this going to work? Who's going to pray for me? Who's going to love me like my mom loved me? You know, just those things. And I desperately tried to keep her alive. And one day, I felt like God asked me. He said, what's the worst that can happen? I said, well, she could die. And I'd miss her. And he's like, and if she died, she'd be with you, God. And I thought, well, what's so bad about that? I'll miss her. When you lose somebody, you're left to start life over. But I let that fear of losing her, because mom was sick for 9 years. And we didn't know until 2 years into her journey what was really wrong with her. And it was hard to watch this dynamic 5'2" woman full of life and probably led more children to the Lord in Kirk County than I can ever think of. I still have people that come up all the time and said, did you know your mom led me to the Lord? But mom taught me some very valuable things. But one of the things she taught me was in her suffering that as I had to walk the halls and face the unknown, that God was with me. And that is an unshakable confidence. See, I had head knowledge. I'd read the Bible. I knew that. But I got experiential knowledge, and experience makes you rich. It gave me an unshakable confidence. Went through a season in my life where I wrestled with, and what I called it was a fear of believing again. I went through one thing after another. There were family heartaches, our car was stolen, a close friend suddenly died, my newborn baby got pneumonia, one of my kids got pink eye, and then the other one came home with lice. I mean, it was like I was walking through Walmart crying, thinking, oh my gosh, I'm a modern day Job. You know, I mean, it wouldn't end. Every day I woke up and there was something else. And I found it. I found it too, and it was a hard time in my marriage with my late husband and I. And I found in that time, I began to be afraid of believing God again, because I was blaming God for all of those things. And God, again, if you have a personal relationship with Jesus, you're going to go to a perfect place when you die. But until that, we have to deal with life right here on this earth. Let's look at Proverbs verse 3 and verse 25. Proverbs 3. Ooh, gotta hurry. 3 and verse 25. It says, have no fear of sudden disaster or the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence, and he can keep your foot from being snared. Right here, you know, Satan, one of the things he loves to do is intimidate us and make us feel scared. And intimidation's main goal is to scare us from ever engaging in the battle. And I remember one time, my husband, soon after he had passed away, and I went to California. And it was one of the first trips I'd taken by myself, and I was going to a conference. And there were just some different dynamics. And I've been married forever. I was used to traveling with someone, and I was in the hotel room that night, and it was just like it hit me. Oh my gosh, what am I doing? Why am I here? I'm all by myself. I'm in a different state. It was like this unnatural. It was like now I know it was a panic attack, but I didn't know that at the time because I'd never had one. But my life was upside down, and there was just a lot going on. And I remember I didn't know what to do because I was all by myself. And I remember throwing myself on the bed, and all I could do, had an iPod back there. I plugged it in, put the ear things on, and just sobbed on the bed and listened to worship music. And just said, Lord, I'm afraid. I know I'm not supposed to be, but I give it to you. And I trust you. I choose to trust you. I choose to trust you when things don't make sense. I choose to trust you because you're God. I choose to trust you because your word says to, and I want to please you. And you know, it took a little bit of time. It took, I don't know, an hour or hour and a half. But as I just listened to worship music, you got to watch what you listen to. If you're listening to music and things that are going to cause you to be fearful, change it. Find a Christian station. Find upbeat music. And as I did that, it was like those songs just washed over me and just began to settle my heart so it could be at peace again. And, you know, intimidation is nothing new. If you know the story of David and Goliath, to recap, David was this great big giant, and he was talking to David, and David was a man after God's own heart. And it says in the scripture that as this giant's bellowing at him, he told that bellowing giant, David reminded himself of God's faithfulness in the past, how God had helped him kill a bear, kill a lion, do other great things. And when that giant was coming against him, he told that bellowing giant, I will strike you down, I'll cut off your head and give your carcass to the birds. Now that's somebody that was filled with faith. And I think there are times that we have to take the word of God Maybe one of these scriptures, you might need to write it on an index card. God has healing for our hearts. So let's talk about freedom from fear. I want to give you one of my favorites, 1 John 4, verse 18. Let's go there because this one's important. Real importance. 1 John's in the very back of the Bible. Okay, 1 John 4:18, and it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment or torment, and the one who fears is not made perfect in love." One of the greatest things that God began to show me is that when I feel afraid, I just need a better revelation of who He is. And so now one of my favorite prayers when I realize, and there were some things just in my week this last week, it was kind of crazy. And as I'm preparing the lesson, I thought, I detect a little fear in me, you know, and I was like, okay, Lord, I just need a greater revelation of Your love for me. You love me more than anybody on the earth. You love me, not that He loves all of us. We are all special. We're all His kids. I've got three children that I raised, and I've got two stepchildren and now six grandkids. And I just love them. I love each and every one of them. And that love, when we're perfect in love, when we understand that we have a good Father in Jesus, in Christ and in God, and He loves us dearly, that and understanding His love and opening our heart to His love can drive out fear. That's what the scripture says. That's a great one. Take it home, read it, meditate on it, and the more understanding we can gain of how radically loved we are, the more confident and secure we are. God's not holding your past against you. There's some of you here tonight. God looks at your past and He says, it's forgiven. Just ask me if you're not sure. I forgive you. Get back up. Get back in the race and go. Because there's not one person here that hadn't made a mistake. So I challenge you, when fear tries to creep in, say, God, just reveal more of Your love to me. I'm telling you, it's like a warm waterfall going over you when you open your heart to God's love. And so to conclude tonight, I want to challenge you to examine your life to see what fears you need to be set free of, because Christ has come to set us free. And in my own journey, as I note, as I begin to say, and this is all written down, you don't have to write it down, but number one, examine your heart and just ask God, which one do you want to deal with first? What I've taught tonight was decades of what God's taught me, and I didn't even get to all of them. But which one does God want to deal with first in your life? Call fear, number two, call it what it is. It's doubt and unbelief. Recognize it as sin and just ask God to forgive you. He's faithful to forgive. Treat fear as a robber or a thief in your home and ask God to show you and be quick to repent of your fears. Tell fear to go. It's not your friend. And ask God for a greater revelation of His love. And I want to close tonight with a song. And then I want to lead you in a prayer. And pray this only if you want. But I want you to listen to the words, and then I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Let's all close our eyes. Jesus, just come and speak to us. We know You've come to set us free. Reveal truth, God. We told You You're not worthy. We told You You're not worthy. Father, I just come to you tonight, and you see the heart of each person here. And God, I know you're just looking down, and you just say, those are my kids I created, and I love them so much, and I want them to walk free. And so, Lord, I ask that you come and touch hearts and change lives. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and if it's your heart, pray it. If not, you can just sit there and listen. But if you want to get free of a fear, maybe God's highlighted something, I just want you to pray this after me. God, I come to you, and I acknowledge my fear of whatever. You can just speak quietly if you don't want to say. Lord, your word says, you've made me to be strong and courageous. And you told me not to fear. I ask you to forgive me where I've entertained fear. And thank you for your forgiveness. In fear, I tell you to go. You're not my friend. Jesus, give me a greater revelation of your love for me. Open my eyes to see you, God. Open my eyes to see that you hold me by the right hand and you will never forsake me. God, where I've built walls around my life, I see you take them down so I can receive your love and give love to others. Now, Father, I thank you for each person here. Thank you for bringing them. Lord, it wasn't a mistake. You handpicked them to be here tonight. Thank you. Thank you that you came to set us free. And I ask that you do in my life, God, in their lives. And Lord, just continue to open my eyes to see when I'm afraid so that I can walk and become the woman of God you've called me to be. And I bless each home here. I bless the Croc for letting us hold this meeting. And I thank you. In Jesus' name.